bros chilling in the hot tub, 5 feet apart because they're not gay. Two bros, 5 feet apart because they're two bros.
Hello and welcome to We Rate Queerbait, the show where we go through the blurry lines between homies and homos. And you see, on this week, we have something special. Before I even announce the show, who we are, what we do here, the show, I want to talk about, we've done a lot of couples here, you know?
Uh-huh.
One person between one person, you know, sometimes another person comes in to muddy the waters. We haven't done, say, kind of, I'm not really want to call it a love triangle yet. Kind of like a love line. A line that goes from one boy to one boy to one granite vampire to boy's mom.
To boy's
and
dad.
I just think that's boy's dad.
I actually think they just talked about that in the Ace Attorney chapter I was doing, and it's a love why.
Oh, ooh. Wonderful. I'm glad we have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ace Attorney.
Hi, I'm Devin. My pronouns are he, him.
I'm Sky. My pronouns are he, she.
I'm Emery. My pronouns are they, he, she.
And this week, we're talking about a literary classic made manifest into anime, which is just a recipe for pure drama and disaster. Yeah. We're talking about Gengetsuo, the retelling of the Count of Monte Cristo in space with vampires.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Let's go.
Yeah, Gengetsuo refers to the
space parasite vampire.
Yeah, the space parasite that latches onto somebody who, I don't know if it has to be a vengeful person specifically or if it just manifested that way, but yeah, the Gengetsuo latched onto our boy Edmond Dante and had just a wild time in the crazy city of Paris.
So I'm gonna get first impressions before I dive into the show.
Sure.
How did you guys like it?
I mean, first thing, let's get this out of the way.
Yes.
Albert is the original Bella Swan. I don't think. I need to elaborate on this.
Oh, don't worry. When we go through the story, it will become perfectly clear why Albert is the first Bella Swan. Our listeners should be able to get to it by us talking about space vampires.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think I just want to talk about the visual style of the show more than I want to talk about the actual
plot.
What
show look like that? Can we please talk about the visual style used in this show? Because, you know, there's a lot going on drama-wise in this show. There's a lot of funny stuff. It is the Count of Monte Cristo retold as a vampire anime, so, like, it's got that going for it. The visual style is...
Ultimate why show look like that.
I mean, it's a real turn-off. Like, it's a real, like, this show made, like, it's like it's its job to look bad. I'm sorry to whoever worked on it if you ever happen to be listening to the Small American podcast. I don't know why they made those decisions.
Boy.
We've talked about it. It's the level to which it goes 100% in the direction of bad to look at graphics.
All tours respect.
Mm-hmm. Like, no stops pulled. So, to give a quick, imagine that everybody's clothes and also hair is, like, holographic.
Like a Joanne Fabrics fabric.
So
I describe it as, like, early PowerPoint, early Microsoft PowerPoint, like 2003 style, when you're in school and you know you don't have enough in your PowerPoint to, like, serve, like, a good presentation, so you're like, I'll throw on a fun background.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw on a fun background. That'll distract the teacher from the fact that I have three words on this slide, and I am constantly going,
That's right.
Through the whole presentation, and I'll get an A. That's what this show looks like. It's like they were, like, those fun graphics that look awful and always cover the text. They said, let's slap them on people.
Let's just, it really is. It's like everyone has holographic clothes and wigs, and they are projecting, like, God's most horrible patterns on them. Like, they don't move with the fabric. Like, it's clearly, like, one of those, like, overlay effects.
Yeah,
it's their hair with a weird texture. Their suits will often be like they're wearing a shirt that's one pattern, a tie that's a completely different pattern, a jacket that's a different pattern, and then pants that are a different pattern. Yeah, it's bad. It is hurtful to the eyes.
Okay, I want to be a bit more generous to the visual style. Yeah, so basically to describe like they're using like layer masks with patterns instead of like, you know, like solid cell shaded colors, and
yeah,
I think some of them look really good. Like some of the patterns are really fucking cool, and it does create like this a very interesting and unique and ambitious visual style. But it is like 150% too much going on screen at all time. And actually, my biggest, you know. My biggest objection is that just, like, it doesn't work in the resolution that this show is. Because it's from 2004, it's not in high def, I think it's just, like, standard DVD quality, and that really shoots it in the foot in terms of, like, looking good. Because, like, the patterns, you know, I think some of them just look like dog shit outright, but I think some of them have, like, really interesting colors and, you know, are very vibrant and good to look at. Except that not really, because they're kind of muddy and blurry and really needed to be a lot more crisp in order to pull off the effect. Also, just, like, I think there needed to be a better eye for, like, color composition, because everything is always the same pattern, no matter the scene, and it just, the colors are just what they are, no matter, like, what the lighting and mood of the scene is, or the background, and it is just, like, so much going on all at once. Also, I want to talk about the backgrounds and environments, too, because a lot of it is, like, computer-generated, like, 3D modeling, and boy, it sure is some 2004 3D modeling.
Yeah, because I think I agree, like, it is a choice that I almost want to defend, because, like, there's some of it, like, Hyde's outfit in like the finale or one of the last episodes we watched, at least she had, it's like a stained glass overlay, and yeah. So it's kind of cool, like there's cool stuff that happens throughout, but like Albert, our main character, several times he's wearing this jacket that looks like a TV, like a really like a TV from when I was growing up, where the filter, like the color filters are not exactly working right. It's like when it's a static screen, but it's almost picking up color. So you can see like bars of really dim, like red, green, and blue. That's what his suit looks like. And it's like that for several episodes. And it just like, there's another one that looks almost like a flag or something. Like it has like red, white, and blue, which it might be supposed to be like a French flag or something. It might just vaguely look like that. But again, like you said, like it's very dim, and it's very hard to tell what's going on at all with it. And there again, with the multiple patterns on top of other patterns, and like you were going to talk about the backgrounds and stuff, there are some 3D animation stuff. It's also like they'll do like the gilding on the tables or the wallpaper, like that same like weird printed like fabric style, and it really really clashes with people's outfits a lot. I think if they had done like just outfits or something and not also the hair, not also the gilding on the buildings and stuff like that, there's a lot of moments where it could have looked really really cool. But yeah, it didn't, it felt like they were going for something and didn't necessarily have an eye for what looked good taking it to the final product.
Also none of the hair textures are defensible. All of them look like
No, all of them are awful.
All of the hair textures are basically just like a Photoshop hairbrush, but it's like way too coarse, and there's no like.
It looked like they zoomed in on a doll hair texture and just slapped that over top of like drawn hair. Yeah. It's so bad.
It's so, the hair looks fucking atrocious.
And even worse when they do glitter hair sometimes. Like it's such a weird effect. I think the glitter sometimes looks cool with some of the overlays, but it's so much whenever they decide to use it. It's it's visually a little, honestly, like a little bit of an eyesore. Yeah. Like,
I think
some
I wanna...
of it's cool, but it's like, ow, it hurts
and
to watch.
Also, like another touch that just kind of feels like they were doing it just because they can. Like, different characters have like different colored line art. Like, Albert's is a dark blue, like. Peppo Pig's is like this reddish brown, like.
I think I want to talk about where the studio and where the director of this anime were in their lives when starting production for this. This anime came out in October 5th, 2004. Uh-huh. Before this, the director Mahiro Maeda, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, my man. He worked on the Animatrix.
Damn.
Which is, have you ever seen the Animatrix? It feels like it wants to have this, like, off-the-wall visual style, but is at least focused in the sense that the Matrix itself has a visual style, and it has to adhere to that. The Count of Monte Cristo doesn't have a visual style other than we're in France, and we're doing, like, a fancy drama.
Yeah.
But this is space France, so, like, you can feel the director was like, oh, I can get nutty with my visuals, and I'm working off that, like, prestige of coming off the Animatrix. It is a show that, once again, I said I have the utmost respect for because it is made by a guy who no one came to him and said, dude, why would we do that? Looks awful, my man. Why are we doing this?
It's
no one told him.
It's extremely just like, it's 2004. We have digital animation software. Let's just do stuff with it.
Let's see what we can get away with digital software. We don't have to, we can spend so little on our visuals now, that means we can just add more of them.
Let's just do things because we can and never, ever, ever ask if we should.
That's right.
It is a truly atrocious anime to look at, which is why I think I love it, because it is trying so hard to look wild and out there, and it just fails.
Can I...
Again, like, I think there is a version that of this that could have worked. Like, with just, like, a better understanding of lighting and color and, like, and honestly just more modern technology, so, like, the 3D stuff doesn't look like shit, and
you know
also,
what I
like,
think
the
it
resolution
works?
And textures.
Every time they show off the Count... He looks fantastic
the
in
Count
this.
Does look pretty fucking good.
He has his hot rod flame, like, suit on. He has a great cape, which always has, like, great patterns on it that really just, like, emphasize this otherworldly and kind of, like, just magnetic energy that flows around him. Like, I agree with Albert. If this dude showed up, like, randomly at my house, I would be like, yeah, whatever you want. What do you want? What do you, like, what can I do for you, my man? Like, you look sick as fuck. And I think it works for the Count. It's just when it's also on everybody else, my vision begins to go blurry.
True.
I think on the Count, it's more subtle because he has his, like, jacket that's mostly black with the flame decals, and then
it's rules.
Right. And then it's, like, the cape that has the pattern, or, like, his hair is not entirely with those weird hair patterns we were talking about
his
before.
Hair
it's
looks
like
a lot better than most everyone else's.
Yeah, it's like it has highlights of it. And I feel like if they, I mean, I understand from a certain perspective that you can't put that much effort into, like, each and every character model. I feel like you could have done maybe the Count that way to make him stand out and then not with everybody else, because it almost makes him look more subtle than everyone else, which I don't think is a direction you want to go in with this.
Yeah, it feels like they were like, this is, we're trying to visually stylize Gilded Age front. France here. Like, true, like, height of aristocracy, like, just excess and just living a life that's just way too much at all times. And they were like, well, we have to make everything about this place seem like it is made in excess. And I'm like, that's great. I can't look at it. I can't. It hurts.
Yeah.
But I think
even as even speaking as someone who has a weakness for maximalism, like, I do love the approach of just, like, putting way the fuck too much on screen at once, but yeah, I don't think this pulls it off well enough. I don't think there is enough like coherency or order to the visual style to
me and you are watching on me and you are watching fucking App Monsters every Monday, and that is a show that is all about maximalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, it has a thing it is going for hardcore. Does it always know what it's doing with its story? No, not at all. But it is living its best life.
Absolutely.
This show,
App Monsters, is fucking thriving all the time, 24/7.
This, if Appmon feels like it is thriving, it is having a great time. This show feels like it is thriving, but has like serotonin poisoning. This show feels like it thinks it's feeling really good, but it's dying.
I want to, okay, there is one more comment I want to make on the visuals because it adds to the confusion of it all, and it's that the styles that everyone is wearing are very different, and I mean anachronistically different, because, like, Albert...
dressed in, like, a little suit boy.
Yeah, Albert, Franz, the Count, his, like, all of those aristocrat families all feel like, you know... they're all in the same time period. And then here comes Eugenie, a third main character in the story. And she's wearing, like, fucking, like, 70s retro style, like, with the, like, high-waisted belts and stuff like that. And it's like, this looks nothing like what literally anyone else is wearing. Not to mention she's got some of the loudest patterns in the show to call attention to it.
That's
she also has a car.
That's
like,
interesting that you called Eugenie a main character, because I can't remember a single fucking thing she did.
In fairness, I did watch more than the assigned episodes. I mostly call her I mostly call her a main character because it is like the childhood story thing of like she and Franz she and Franz and Albert grew up together, and so there's like that throuple going on where like she's the one lesbian in a throuple with two gay men engaged to one of them.
It's so sad.
Yeah, so it's really sad for her. But yeah, like her outfits, every time she comes in, I'm like, I understand this is, like, space France and whatever, so there is some stuff that, like, can be out of the time period, but it's, like, her, and then there's that other rich guy with the suit with the weird sunglasses, and, like, that's her dad, but then, like, everyone else is just completely in the same period, and it's, like, I don't know what's supposed to be happening here. It just, it definitely adds to that chaotic feeling of, I wish there was just somebody with a slightly better eye for aesthetics, like, saying no to something. Of the choices, you know?
No, this is fully his vision. I think, should we hop into the plot of the show now that we've thoroughly skewered its visual style? Because I'm ready to have the auteur's respect and also skewer the plot, which is the plot of the novel.
Right.
So, the first episode follows a kind of wanderlust boy named Albert. He's on the moon. This takes place in space future, even though there's no reason for it. He's on the moon. It's the lunar festival.
It's like a fucking space setting where, like, you know, humanity has colonized different star systems, and
they've colonized
and
east,
just like a
west,
whole universe of possibilities. And from the episodes I watched, there it just kind of seems like it mostly takes place in Paris on Earth.
Yeah, mostly because it was adapted from a book that takes place in Paris on Earth, and they were like, damn. When are we going to be allowed to send this into space fantasy?
They do, however, explore catacombs in this first episode, which takes place on the moon.
On the moon.
So
the French just took the catacombs.
The French
with them.
Did move their catacombs up to the moon, it seems. They were running out of room in their catacombs for the dead people that are still dying on Earth in France, so they moved all their dead people up to the moon.
Is that why the moon has a fucking skull face on it now?
Yes!
That's my exact theory. They killed the man on the moon with all those corpses.
This guy was reading Soul Eater, and he said, me too. So Owlbear is with his childhood best friend, Franz. They're on the moon. They're looking to party, get laid, have a great time, live life while before they have to get married to their loveless marriages.
That's right.
And while going to see a dramatic opera, Owlbear notices up in some of the box seating, notices a mysterious blue gentleman who he's immediately smitten by.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman notices him, does a fun little bow. Owlbear starts to blush. And after the show, Owlbear's just kind of sitting and thinking about him, just really thinking about that gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman walks by, drops a pocket watch on the ground, and Owlbear is like, oh, I simply must return it to this beautiful gentleman. From here, he goes to return it, sees him again, forgets to actually return it because he's just like, damn, that guy's so hot. And we cut back to Franz being like, are you still obsessed with that guy? Owlbear is like, I might be. Franz's like, how about we go get laid or, I don't know, do something else? And then Owlbear and Franz are invited to visit this mustachioed gentleman.
There is just like a very interesting moment where he's like, hey, should we hit up the brothels? Oh, wait, I forgot you don't like that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is trying to aim at this idea that Owlbear is a nice gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It more makes it feel like Owlbear doesn't know what to do with women.
Also, isn't Owlbear like 15?
He is canonically 15 in the show. The show kind of forgets about it during this section when it's like, oh, we're some rowdy boys and a lunar festival by ourselves looking to get laid in the street.
Well, so is Owlbear, and, you know, it's France, so who am I to say?
It's space France. They have different laws.
That's right.
They have some social mores. So they go visit the Count. The Count is immediately captured Owlbear with his wild tales. Franz is immediately just like, I don't like this guy, and I don't like that Franz is obsessed, that Owlbear is obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Count is like, hey, do you guys want to go see something cool, something fun, which is the public executions during the festival? And Franz is like, no, that sounds miserable. And Owlbear is like, come on. And the Count's like, come on. So they go do that. The Count entreats Owlbear to a fun game, which is, I have a letter of pardon from the Cardinal. The Moon Cardinal?
The Moon Cardinal.
The Lunar Cardinal of space religion.
Yep. And there's a space pope.
Yep. I can get one of these criminals off. Two of them say they didn't commit murder. One of them is cheerfully being like, I did. I love killing. I'm a sicko.
He's so funny. And I would have pardoned him. He's...
Yeah.
I would have pardoned him on the basis of being the funniest guy there.
Yeah. Well, good news. He does get pardoned.
Yay!
The Count puts three cards face down. He's like, you gotta draw one of these, and whoever you draw gets pardoned. Franz is like, this is a sick game. Owlbear is like, I'm not feeling great about this. The Count's being like, come on. Don't you want to be evil? Don't you want to be a sicko?
Owlbear's like, this is kind of messed up. And the Count is like, that's disappointing, because I was of the opinion that you and I might, like, get along. But,
I thought we were going to be friends, maybe something not. A bit more, but if you're not down to party.
Yeah, Owlbear's in the position where, you know, if he doesn't pick a card, they're all three going to die, so he pulls one, and surprise, surprise. And the Count does sort of, like, do the whole, like, reaching over a person at a pool table to help them shoot the cue, like... Mm-hmm. With his arm around him, yeah, helping him grab the cart.
Yeah, the whole, like, I gotta teach you how to play golf by, like, you know, fixing your stance with my body.
Yeah, putting my arms all the way around you to help you pick up this one card.
Yeah, so Owlbear chooses the guy who's funny and loves to commit murder. He feels nasty about it, so while they're wandering the streets, he's like, I'm just gonna sit here and be sad. And Franz is like, alright, well, I'm gonna go to a party without you. Bye. During this time, Franz gets picked up by everyone's favorite character, Peppo.
Mm-hmm.
Peppo! Who Franz is immediately like, oh, damn, I'm so sad tonight. I want to get laid. And Peppo's like, sure, bud.
Yeah, she comes up and is like, are you alone? By the way, I love her Hot Topic skull dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she rules.
Her it skull
rules.
Skater dress. Again, a little bit anachronistic. It looks like all of the men are in, like, I don't know, 1740, and all of the women are in 1970.
Yeah.
But, you know.
they're existing way ahead of them. So.
But yeah, she's like, oh, well, you shouldn't be alone tonight. It's the Lunar Festival. And they start making out, and she goes, haha, don't go too fast, and pulls a gun on him.
Yeah, yep. That's the end of episode one. We cut to episode two. Owlbear is captured by notable serial killer Luigi Vampa.
Who's not a vampire.
Yeah, who's nope. not a vampire, surprisingly.
He's but, not you know. Luigi either. He's not wearing green at all. He would never go in a spooky
He's
mansion.
Kind of wearing green. He's wearing, like, a slightly green snakeskin. True. Which, made of snakeskin and also has snake patterns on it. Suit. Uh-huh. So, kind of rules. Franz finds out about this when Albert doesn't return home, and he goes looking for him, and the nice murder guy is sitting outside his house and is like, hey, I got your friend. Mm-hmm. If you don't give me 5 million francs or ducats. Is it ducats? I don't know currency.
I don't know.
Just give me $5 million or we're going to chop him up and throw him into the river.
It might be ducats on the moon in francs when they go back to France.
Great. Money's fake. Mm-hmm. We're going to chop him up. So Franz is now extremely scared. He's thinking about all the times he's had with Albert. Which is
earlier he very conveniently just like heard that it's not safe to be out alone at night. Didn't you hear there's this Luigi guy who loves to torture people and chop them up?
Luigi?
There's Luigi out there. There's also a part where the girl who invited him to this party is like trying to put the moves on him. She's like, "Oh, you won't leave me tonight. We'll be in bed together, won't we?" And we cut back to her house, and Franz is just looking like dejected that Albert said, "I don't want to hang out with you tonight."
Yeah,
and she's like in the shower, clearly making herself ready for some sex with this supposed 15-year-old. And she steps out of the shower, and he's immediately like, "Yeah, sorry, gotta go." So, a lot of that in this anime of characters just being like, yeah, I gotta go. I don't actually want to have sex with you. So, Franz is trying to get the money together. The bank apparently is closed or has, like, a problem. And so, he can't get her from there. He can't go back to that lady's house because he stood her up and she's already fucking some other dude.
Yeah, she picked up another man, so yeah. He can't get any help from her either.
Yeah, he's pounding on the door and she is just, like, fully naked in the window with another dude.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, she just, like, looks out her whole pussy out and then closes the curtain. Yeah,
good for her.
That's right.
So he's kind of at wit's end. It's the guy gave him till sunrise. It's almost sunrise. And he's like, damn, if there's only someone I can go to. Oh, god damn it. I have to go to the count, don't I?
Oh, god damn.
Oh, god damn. So he goes to the count and the count's like, hey, bud, what you doing here? And he's like, I need your help. And the count's like, great. So
yeah, and the count says, wow, it must be so nice to have, like, such a constant friendship like you guys have had throughout the years. And Albert, Franz has a cute little flashback to Albert asking him who he had a crush on and him going, haha, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, it cuts to them, like, riding their bikes, and it's, like, Albert being like, come on, tell me who you like. And Franz is like, I can't tell you. And Albert's like, come on, just tell me. He's like, you wouldn't understand.
That's right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what you say.
That is what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So the count gives the guy the money and then is like, take me to the boy. The count in this space fantasy future has a carriage drawn by armored horses, which kind of whips ass.
It's hilarious because in like one episode, Eugenie is going to show up in her car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of whips ass that he chooses to do this.
Yeah.
Also, the horses are just like full CG.
Oh, yeah.
They look awful, by the way.
Shit.
It looks like absolute shit.
Uh-huh.
Once again, I think this show should get a revival. So, this is where we find out that the underground gang kind of really want to kill Albert now. Luigi Vampa is a dude who likes to read in his other room, so he's like, yeah, you guys can chop him up at sunrise or whatever. Before they get to do this, the Count's bodyguards and slash manservants break in. Can we talk about how their dress code is nice suits with no shirt and unbuttoned jackets?
Yeah, can we just talk about how one of them has a fucking gangster pompadour?
I want to be these guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, they're
yeah,
so
the Count's
fucking
two
cool.
special boy toys.
They're so cool. Especially in the last episode, one of them, like, comes back, and it turns out that he does choose to just wear full suits with shirts on, so I like to think the Count's dress code is no shirt, unbuttoned suit jacket.
No, that's absolutely right. Their work uniform, no question.
You have to have your abs out at all times.
You have to show off that great body.
Just in case.
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As a space vampire, this is required. They beat up the gang. The Count meets Luigi Vampa. Luigi is like, who are you? The Count's like, I'm Gengetsuo. And Luigi's like, that's fucked up. And then presumably dies? Question mark? Anyways, Albert is saved. He ignores Franz for like a good 10 minutes, like a dick. Saves Peppo, blah, blah, blah. Stuff happens. The Count's like, you should be thanking Franz. And Albert's like, fine, whatever, thanks. And he gets slapped by Franz, who was like, I was so worried. I thought I would never be able to. And then he stops himself from saying something. And I'm like, what was that? And then just gets into the carriage.
Yep, it's all good.
Yeah,
so they go have dinner with the Count, and there's an evil ruby floating above their table, and
this is where the Count does some transphobia.
Yeah.
Because Franz is like, well, we're leaving today, so we can't stay long, Count. And Albert's like, actually, I have other plans. And the Count's like,
I met a nice lady who held a gun to me and kidnapped me.
And the Count's like, so those plans, what they have to do with the nice lady known as Peppo? And Albert's like, yeah. And the Count's like, so you don't know? And then he whispers something in his ear, and Albert's like, she's a boy! Anyways, episode 3, the rest of the show is just kind of... The dinner table was mostly being the Count being like, oh, can I come visit you in Paris, Albert? And Albert being like, I would love that, actually. And Franz being like, sounds like a bad idea. So episodes after this kind of deal with the Count coming to Paris, having a lot of little Albert's gay for this man moments while this guy really wants to kill Albert's entire family.
Yeah, I mean, the plot of Monte Cristo kind of like kicks in, and it's about, you know, he comes back and is like, wow, look at all these people who betrayed me at some point or another.
I'm going to kill them and their entire family.
And so he's having lots of fun dinner parties where people are like walking around houses, and he's like, oh, something happened here. And what happened is that two of the people invited to the party killed somebody here or something, you know, like.
Yeah, he like visits Albert's house. All his friends are like, dude, your friend's a vampire. And Albert's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's just blue.
Can we talk about how Albert is very much like a dog in that he can't see the color red? I think dogs can't see the color blue, but whatever.
It's fine.
It's fine.
No, I think it's red and green colorblind, people.
Yeah.
Or, like, it is common for people to be, which maybe explains why he can't see either of his eyes are messed up, because he has one red eye and one green eye.
I'm simply just saying that there are a billion red flags waving all around him at all times, and he's just like, yeah, seems regular.
There's, like, an entire part where, like, he has the Count over for dinner, and, like, the Count has been making, like, I want to fuck you into the crust of the earth eyes at Albert's mom, while making I want to put you in the crust of the earth with my bare hands and set you on fire to his dad. Mm-hmm. And the whole time he's not eating dinner, and, like, he kind of recreates the scene in Midnight Sun where Edward's like, I'm going to eat this apple and then immediately go vomit it up later, because Albert's mom's like, why won't you eat the food? And he's like, sorry, I don't eat a lot of food lately. And she's like, but I wish you would try it. And he's like, great, sure, and I would love to.
And yeah.
And then like he's like, I have special pills that keep me, and they're clearly like blood capsules. And he's like, these are my special pills.
And also, just like the whole time throughout this dinner, like it is being like heavily implied that Albert's parents and the Count have history with each other.
Yeah, they put out a soup that's from like Marseille, and like Albert's mom Mercedes is like, oh yeah, I love this. It reminds me of nothing actually. I don't have any history there. And the Count's like, oh, are you guys from Marseille? And the dad is like, no, we're born aristocrats. We've never been to a poor city. We have no history there whatsoever. Right, wife? And she's like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm, yep, mm-hmm, that's true. Mm-hmm. And the Count's like, great. Cut to the next episode. We kind of learn that Franz and Albert are in arranged marriages because they're aristocrats and there's no love in the aristocracy.
Yep.
I'm going to have to go fast. This anime is a lot.
Yeah. It is the Count of Monte Cristo.
It is the Count of Monte Cristo. I'm going to skip kind of a middle portion here that basically revolves around one of their friends who's going to marry Franz Valentin. Doesn't want to marry him. Wants to marry this big soldier guy named Maximilian. Franz also wants her to marry him because he's like, listen, I don't love you. I don't want to get married. It's great if you guys want to get married. That's great on me. I have other things I need to worry about, like Albert over here.
Mm-hmm.
The Count invites them to his newly bought mansion, which is gloomy and scary and definitely is the site of when an illicit love affair resulted in a child that was put in a box and buried outside.
Mm-hmm.
The Valentin gets poisoned here. Before this, the Count...
He fucks a MILF so good that she decides to poison her stepdaughter. Yeah. So that happened.
Yeah, incredible. He goes to Valentine's house, meets her stepmom, and says, hey, what if I fucked you so good that I gave you a poison ring and then you used it on your family?
Uh-huh.
So Valentin gets poisoned. The Count in this episode does something great with Albert, where Albert is like, hey, I saw you with Valentine's stepmom. I thought you were fucking her. And he was like, oh, no, that's crazy. You saw us? Ha ha. Anyways, Albert. And he gets on one knee and he's out like, Albert, I have a deep, deep secret to tell you. And it's one that only you and I will ever know about. I'm actually really sick with turning into stone crystal disease from a space vampire parasite. And sometimes that means that I may act like a sicko. So when that happens, I just want you to remember what a great guy I am. And this will be our sexy little secret and you can't tell anybody, okay?
I have crystal vampire Joker disease.
And yeah, Albert's like, oh, thanks.
I have sicko disease, brackets real, and therefore I cannot be held accountable for any of my actions. Everything I do is like, normal.
Albert's like, oh, thank God, I thought for a second you might have ill intentions for my family and friends. And the Count's like, what? That's crazy.
I want to throw Albert off a bridge. This dumbo is so fucking stupid.
He's so dumb, it's fantastic. So this kind of leads to Valentin gets sick. They have to bust her out of her house because her dad sucks ass. That's just a subplot I really don't give a shit about. This leads to Franz digging into the history of the Count and says to Albert one day, hey, I'm going on a very special sexy trip. You can't come. And Albert's like, what the fuck? That's so fucked up. And
how could you leave me?
How could you leave me all alone? I thought we would be friends forever. And Franz's like, hey, man, calm down. So Franz goes sadly wandering through the streets at night in the rain. And the Count pulls up and says, hey, I see you're alone. I'm about to go on a strange, sexy trip into space. Did you want to come with? And Albert's like, no, I'm a little bit depressed. And the Count's like, so you're definitely coming with. This leads to a part where they go into space. And the next thing we see of them are they both in the same, like, bathrobes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looking like they just went on a honeymoon. They're in a hashish den. The Count is recounting a... I once knew a guy who is in similar circumstances to me kind of story where he's like, oh, he had a beautiful wife and a great best friend, but then his best friend betrayed him. I'm not mad. This also definitely doesn't relate to me.
Yeah, also the guy was a fisherman and, you know, the Count keeps talking about how he's a cool sailor. So, you know, bet there's no relation.
Yeah, no relation, even though he told Albert when he first met him, oh, I used to sail all about through space. These things are not related. Anyways, the end of this is Albert, the Count, being like, I'm kind of a bad dude. I'm kind of a sicko. I'm kind of twisted. And Albert is like, no matter what you do, I will always be there for you. I will always be by your side. And the Count says, you really think highly of me, huh?
Yeah, the Count is like, and Albert's like, okay, I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, and Albert's like, yep, always. And the Count's like, great, 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 great. Anyways, I'm kicking you off my ship and sending you back to Earth now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he does that. The Count is sad about it for like 2 minutes and crying in a chair. And then he does a sicko laugh. So
that's right.
It's great.
He sure does.
Albert gets back to the city, finds out that his dad has been implicated in a political conspiracy where in the background of the show, there's just kind of like an endless war going on with... Mm-hmm. quote-unquote Eastern space. And
I love that. I'm so sorry. I really have to comment on the idea of magnetic poles in space just really quickly, because what is East space? Anyways, continue.
So the conspiracy is there was a country slash planet that was kind of the way stop in between East and quote unquote West space.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of that planet nation was betrayed by the West Space guys, who I think are just Paris. I think they have a name. I don't know it. I don't care. And he was killed, and his family was sold into sex slavery. The Count has working for him a girl named Haiti, who was the daughter of this guy who was sold into sex slavery. And she is like, hey, you are the guy, to Albert's dad, you are the guy who betrayed my family and sold them into sex slavery. Thanks for that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So that's what Albert is going through right now. He's like, my dad would never. He would never be a bad guy, even though he looks like shit.
Yeah, he gets back to Earth, and everybody is, like, talking about him, and they're like, ooh, he's gonna, like, and he, like, goes to try and talk to his dad, and his dad's ignoring him and stuff, and he's, like, really, really sure that his dad's a great guy, but nobody else is, and nor should they be.
Everyone around him is saying, yeah, I can say with 100% confidence that these allegations are true, Albert. And Albert is just like, wow, why are you saying all this?
Yeah, Albert's in that la-la-la, I'm not listening kind of stage of his life. In this, his
fiancée... Why are you being so mean to me for no reason?
In this, his fiancée, Eugenie, has gotten engaged to a different guy, a blonde asshole who looks like shit. And so Albert's feeling in his feelings about that. And then the Count gets back and is like, yeah, I spread those rumors. And Albert's like, that's a sicko move of you. Why would you do that? And the Count's like, my guy, I've been using you this whole time. Did you not get it? And so Albert challenges him to a honorable duel.
That's right.
By throwing a glove at him. And the Count's like, I am going to kill you. I am going to end your life. I am going to kill you. Are you sure you want that? And Albert's like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Franz also gets back. Albert cries into his shoulder. Yep. Franz is like, damn. They stay up drinking. Albert gets his dad's Ferrari, which is just a mech, for the duel tomorrow. And Franz is like, oh, well, since you're gonna have a fun duel tomorrow, take this drink and drink all of it right now, thanks.
A mech, might I add, made out of the worst CG you've ever seen. Like, it picks up the sword, and from the first moment it moves, it looks like absolute dog shit. Like,
the thing about it, because I watched this...
It picks up the fucking sword, and, like, the sword is clearly just, like, clipping through the hand a little bit and not moving in sync with it.
And the thing is, I watched this show a few years ago, and I thought it looked awful then. I think I Eternal Sunshined it out of my mind, because when I watched it this time, I was like, holy crap, that looks real bad. In comparison to all the other 3D assets in this show, that one looks real bad. Like, simply awful. Yeah. It's great.
I hope you like seeing these mechs for the rest of the series.
They will be popping up in a lot of important episodes, and I don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, to be clear, this whole episode is a mech fight between two big suits of armor that do nothing, absolutely nothing, to protect the people that is inside them. It does nothing.
No, in fact, it hurts them more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he chops off the mech's arm at some point. It doesn't chop off the person inside's arm. It does wound them, though. There is blood, and I'm not sure where it came from.
Yeah, the mechs so are leading full up to blood for no reason.
Yeah.
And yeah, leading up to this fight.
Apparently, they just, like, don't have seatbelts in the cockpit, because when their mech gets all chopped off, they are, like, on the brink of death.
Yeah.
it's great. Leading up to this fight, Mercedes, Albert's mom, kind of figured out that the Count is her old ex-fiancé, so she goes to his house and is like, listen, man, I'd still hit. I'm, like, dedicated to you.
She goes in the red slip dress
and is like, I'd still hit. And he's like, feel my cold, dead hand. And she's like, don't care. Let me warm it with my body. Let's go right now. And he's like, I'm going to kill your son tomorrow.
Speaking of Albert being Bella Swan, this was a real Bella Swan moment. She went out there and she said, I do not care if your body is entirely crystal. I would still hit. And she, like, turns towards him and is like, please, please let me stay, and, like, throws the cloak off and is, like, bare-shouldering it. Like, she is ready. Like, she does not give a shit. And listen, she's like, so no, I'm dead to the world now.
Listen, the count's hot. I don't know, like, listen. So, the duel starts, we conveniently get the count talking a lot about how much he loves to make this family hurt, and, the suit of armor that presumably has Albert in it doesn't say shit, gets its shit fucked up real quick. We learn, like, three-fourths of the way through this fight as the count's about to deliver his death blow, being like, I'm gonna take everything from you, that it's Franz in there, and... He dies. He gets his shit rocked completely.
Mm-hmm. He stabs the count in the heart, you know, because he got this clue that, like, you know, if the count still has feelings, then his heart will be the last part of him to crystallize. But damn, we cut to an x-ray shot of the sword going through the heart, and wouldn't you know it, it's a crystal. So the sword doesn't
do shit.
It's like his feelings are all gone. Anyways, I'm so sorry, but can I point out real quick that the way that Franz got that clue was he asked somebody who was, like, not able to actually talk about it. But
oh my god, the fucking robot grandpa?
Yeah, he unscrews his arm and a magic pen comes out that writes a message that Franz has to also use the pen to write a password, and then he gets, like, Jimmy Neutron brain blasted into this guy's brain to, like, learn the truth about how crystal vampires work. It's incredible, honestly.
This is the kind of sci-fi fantasy where the idea of technology gets to the point where it seems more cumbersome than just, like, writing the damn thing and, like, putting it in an envelope. Like, it is just, like, first, I will make a password for a secret, like, telepathic, like, thought thing. And then, I will make a specialized pen that can only write the password. And then, I will have that pen write a special note onto a piece of paper. And then I will put that pen into my robot arm that will only be dislodged if someone says the right thing to me. Mm-hmm. It is insane.
God, speaking of app monsters...
Just don't tell anyone about it.
Speaking of app monsters, I'm just thinking about robot arms with shocking secrets hidden inside them. Anyway.
That is a delightful thing. I can't wait to figure out what that means.
App monsters kind of steals this bit, but does it way better.
Good for them.
Oh my god. Atmonster was inspired by this.
Yeah.
Honestly, anyone is allowed to steal any bits from this show because, like, there's some gems in here that you gotta sift through some real garbage to get to.
Yeah,
so
if anyone
like
wants to write
it.
The book The Count of Monte Cristo.
That's right.
So, Franz dies in Albert's arms. Albert does that thing that always does get me in these things where Franz is clearly dead and Albert is just kind of like, hey, bud, are you still there? And I'm like, ah, shit, that shit gets me.
Scene is also where the news drops that they are both 16.
Yeah,
because,
crazy. Yeah.
Because Franz says, happy birthday, congrats
happy
on turning 16, as he's dying. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
These are 15-year-old boys through this whole thing. No.
So the next few episodes we get are just episodes of... Albert being sad that his boyfriend's dead, being sad that his ex-fiance, who he thought he didn't love, but turns out he did, Eugenie, is gonna get married to another guy who's a sicko.
Sad that he's finding out about, like, the truth about
his horrible family.
Yeah, he's finding out from his mom all of the horrible things his dad did, because he does go to her and is like, wait, is that stuff real? And she's like,
yep.
Yeah.
She's like, yep.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I'm going to leave this horrible family back to Marseille. Do you want to come with? And Albert's like, no.
No.
Also sad because the vampire he has a crush on was just like, hey, actually I got close to you in order to ruin your family and kill you.
Oh, yeah, because he does specifically say to Haide, who I understand, like, you know, from the way we've been watching it, she's, like, at his side, like, the whole time and is the woman who, like, was sold into sex slavery with her mom. And so he's looking at Franz and Haide and goes, would Haide be here if I didn't need her? Would I have met you on the lunar base if I didn't need you? Also, and they're both just like, It's like shocked face.
They're both. Everyone's so shocked that the Count may be using people to get his revenge. It is everyone who learns that maybe this hot vampire might have ulterior motives is so shocked every single time.
Also, I know Heide continues to follow him after that, and it's like, girl, he just said.
Yeah,
he's
just constantly doing the Anakin, you're breaking my heart speech to him.
Also, speaking of surprise teenagers, isn't Heide like 14?
Which is weird because the events of the events that killed her dad are supposed to have taken place like 20 years prior to the start of the show.
I thought.
Which would mean she would have to be like 20.
True, yeah.
So, yeah, she was an undetermined age when she was simultaneously with her mother sold into sex slavery and they got her neck branded and everything.
Maybe
she's
I
the
just
one
saw
who testifies
something.
In that one little bit of an episode.
I don't know. I can look it up. Like,
yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely like implied that there's something between her and Albert at the very end. But I'm like, if that's true and it was like 20 years ago, she's at the very least like 30. Mm. Like if she was maybe 10, like being generous, because she looked about the same age as Albert, but Albert is 16. So, you know.
You know, it's crazy out
anime
there.
Anime trickery.
Yeah, anime ages. So we kind of enter here into Endgame where the Count gets his revenge on the three dudes who ruined his life. First is Eugenie's dad. He's a banker who sucks.
He has stonks.
And the Count is crashing all of them because he's like, I put money into all of them and now I'm selling them all off. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
He gets left out into space when the Count pops onto his ship and is like, hey, fuck you, dude. The next is... what is his name? Villefort?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Like he's the guy who convicted Dante when Dante gave him a letter that said, you're fucked, man.
Yeah.
So he makes that guy go insane by doing something. Don't really know what it is. Don't care. The last one is Albert's dad, who
has declared martial law.
Yeah, who, in this time of realizing that his marriage has fallen apart and his career has fallen apart, has just become, like, a dictator. Like, just in that time, he's just like, fine, I'll just be dictator of the earth.
Uh-huh.
So he's going nutty with it. His wife shows up and is like, hi, you suck, actually. I'm leaving you. So he shoots her.
Mm-hmm.
So Albert shows up and is like, why did you shoot Mom? And the Count's like, not the Count. Albert's dad is like, oh. So he shoots him. And then is like, no, my family's dead. The Count took everything from me.
No!
No!
Why would the Count do this?
Why would the Count do this to me? The Count's hot servants save Albert and Mercedes from him. And he's like, well, there's one thing left to do in life, and that's go kill the Count right fucking now. So he gets in the awful-looking mech again and just floats down to the Count's house and is like, I'm gonna beat your ass, my guy. The Count is sitting down there being like, I can't wait to beat your ass, my guy. And this brings us kind of to the last episode that matters, which is... Albert's dad and the Count, who used to be dear childhood friends, duking it out. Albert's dad loses, like a loser. Yeah,
gets his mech all chopped up.
Yeah, he is fighting a space vampire, mind you, so it's understandable that he loses. So he loses, he runs up, Heidi's there for some reason, she's like, Count, this isn't your heart, Anakin, you're breaking my heart. The Albert's dad tries to do a hostage situation, but then the Count's like, but you idiot, I also have a hostage, your son. And turns out he made his hot manservant put a gun on Albert, and so his dad gives up and is like, don't kill my son, he's the only thing in life I still love, which is questionable.
Right.
The Count's like, great, shoot him anyway. The manservant doesn't, the Count goes, fine, I'll do it, shoots his other manservant who gets in the way of the bullet, because he's like, Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah, both Albert's father and the Count's other servant jump in front of the bullet.
Yeah. So, at this point, the Count is going full, I need to make something clear. The vampire part of the count is an evil space parasite that, like, body hopped into him and said, I will help you get your revenge, and after that, I get your bod to do whatever I want.
Yeah, Genkitsuo. Yeah. Crystal vampire.
Yeah, crystal vampire. So at this point, crystal vampire is like, my job here is basically done, so I get your bod now, my man.
Uh-huh.
So he's basically taking over the count fully at this point, which is described as getting a Majora's Mask kind of deal all over his body.
That's right.
Hold on. I did just go back in the episode because I did want to check if I, like, misread something. Here in the Crunchyroll subtitles, it's saying that Heyday met Albert's dad 10 years ago when she was 4. So I don't know how.
Oh,
that
shit. She is 14. Thought it was 20. Okay, so she is 14. That's great. Great, 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 great.
Great, 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 great,
great. Great, great, great. I love anime ages.
I love
that. So Genkitsuo is now doing his evil vampire thing while he's like, my job here is done. I'm going to leave. And Albert is doing his Anakin, you're breaking my heart speech for a third time.
Uh-huh.
He runs up to the count and the evil space vampire, who only speaks in French, mind you, being like, do you think you understand my friend's heart better than me? You think you know what he wants better than I do? That's stupid. I live in him, so obviously I know better. Now Bear's like, the only way I can show you is by this. And he walks up to him, gives him a big ol' hug, and then kisses him? Question mark?
I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it could either be a kiss,
or he's whispering,
like,
in his ear.
Yeah, saying something in his ear. There's some, like, thematic potential for him to be saying, I forgive you, or whatever, but it really does just look, he comes up and, like, starts kissing him.
I mean, by the language of the show.
I was checking my phone, so I missed this part, and I did not rewind to go back.
Uh-huh, that's valid. Fine. It was a lot of colors and shapes.
By the language of the show, it does that thing in, you know, most vampire things where, like, their lips look like they're about to meet, and then it cuts the shot again to show that he's, like, by his cheek or by his neck. That's what it did there, so yeah. I'm just making bug eyes at it.
Yeah.
By this time, everything's turning to shit. The entire place is collapsing. The Count, his evil vampire heart warms at this point, and he becomes human again.
Yeah, he gets cured of
vampire disease. And immediately dies because his heart still has a piece of sword stuck in it.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And it explodes everywhere. He's dying on the ground being like, Albert, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah,
bring me my sword.
He got stabbed in the heart, but somehow blood is leaking out of his entire body.
Yeah.
Staining his clothes.
Uh-huh.
Making a blood cross on the ground. It's all very artistic.
Yeah.
He basically dies being like, remember my name! And Albert's like, I will! The whole place collapses, people die. Don't really care from there. The last episode is just Albert doing memory shit. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like when Albert is like 20 or whatever, and
yeah,
he's going
being
around
like,
and being
where
like,
where are they now?
Rip Franz, I miss you. The one couple that did make it is happy, I guess. And that's about it.
That's the show.
Do we know what became of Peppo Pig?
Peppo became a galaxy world? I don't know. Galaxy famous model.
Good Great. For her.
Good for her.
Yeah. Because there was a whole subplot with Eugenie getting married to a guy who's gross, and Albert saves her from that, and Peppo is the one who helps him save her, and then it's just like, well, my job here is done, and she wanders away.
Uh-huh.
So that's the show.
Yeah, that sure is the show.
So I think I want to talk about my favorite why moments. Is that love triangle? Love why?
The love why, yes.
The love why moments?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, I think the first one is... The first one is kind of all the little moments of Albert looking at the Count, immediately being smitten and just blushing for the entire show.
From moment one, he is infatuated in just a horrendous way.
He is down disgusting for this guy through the entire show. It is to levels where, like, the Count says to him multiple times, I used you, I'm evil, you can't trust me. And he's just like, I don't believe you. I think you're nice and that we will get married. And I'm like, my man, come on.
My dude, you're 15 and he's your dad's age.
You're 15 and he is your dad's age and an immortal space vampire. Please, for the love of God. The next one, I think, is Franz's childhood memory of just being kids on a bike and being like, I can't tell you who I like. You wouldn't get it.
That's right.
That is a big, come on. That is a big, I'm gay and I can't say that my gay crushes you.
That's right.
The next one I want to do is, I think I talked about already, is their pleasure cruise where Albert is just being like, I think highly of you. I think highly of you more than anyone else, and nothing will ever shatter that image. And the Count is just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, buddy. Wow.
I really liked in that scene when Albert was looking at space and said, wow, all my problems seem so small and insignificant out here in space. And the Count said, yeah, well, the blackness of space has really amplified my hate and anguish. And then they go from there into Albert trying to, like, confess his love for him. And the Count is like, buddy, did you not just hear me? We are on two different trips here.
It's so funny because it's not even, Albert isn't even like, I can fix him. Albert is just like, nothing is wrong.
That is exactly right. He's like, I thought the two of us were going to just trust and hope in each other. And the Count is like, I never, ever agreed to that, is all I'm saying.
It is.
I did use you, but I never said that. You deluded yourself quite easily, my man.
There is a thing that happens routinely in the first few episodes where if anyone even suggests anything about the Count that isn't, like, a perfect godlike view of him, Albert is like, you have gone too far. There is, like, a moment where Eugenie's like, oh, yeah, your friend's coming in, that, like, fake Count or whatever, and fucking Albert is like, Eugenie, if you don't take that back right now, I swear to God I will crash this car with both of us in it.
That's right.
It is insane. The next moment.
So oh, wait, I'm much. Sorry.
He's the dumbest motherfucker on the planet.
He is the dumbest idiot, and he must be protected in the glass case.
Yeah. Honestly. There is another great scene in this where what I have in my notes, like, it was kind of a back and forth between the two of them, but I have basically that Albert said that the Count's beauty will never fade. Like, he says something about, like, oh, I'm, like, aging and, like, you know, kind of too old to be having this grand adventure with you or whatever. And Albert's just like, no, not to me. To me, your beauty will never fade.
To me, you are an immortal hot vampire. The next one is Franz. Obviously, the whole entire duel is kind of like a gay moment, because what if two people who don't know their rivals are killing each other?
Mm-hmm. Oh, if we're there, can I talk about episode 17 real quick? Because that was the in-between of a couple that we had assigned. And, so this whole episode is basically like for Albert and Franz reunite. They're holding hands and being like, wow, I missed you so much. And then Albert tells him, like, hey, you were kind of right about the Count. Like, he kind of sucks and I have to duel him. And Franz is like, my man, he wants to kill you. That has been his goal the whole time. He reveals to him the information that the Count was once engaged to his mom and all this. And he's like, he literally wants to kill you for revenge. Does that mean nothing to you? And Albert's basically just like, I know that he wants me dead for revenge, but he fucked up my whole life and he's gotta pay. So that's what makes Franz decide. Like, he sits with him for a while and then he gives him a sleeping potion and goes to talk to Eugenie about his birthday tomorrow and gives Eugenie a card and is like, hey, so I'm giving you this. Tomorrow after I'm gone, you should give it to him so it's not awkward because we're too old to be giving each other, like, sweet little cards or whatever.
He even says it in a way that he's like, oh, we should go to our favorite cafe and, like, celebrate his birthday tomorrow, and I'm gonna give you my present for him too, and you gotta give it to him when I'm, like, stepped away, because it will be super awkward if he read this when I was around.
Yeah, so you gotta do it when I'm not there, you know? It's a letter for him after I'm gone. And
it's
so
a surprise tool.
Yeah, that's right.
Meanwhile,
and then, you know,
Eugenie is writing an anime OP for Albert's birthday.
She is fully writing the OP for Albert.
It's really good that this Over the Garden Wall ass intro that has been playing the whole time turns out to be Eugenie's composition to Albert that she wrote right before their friend died.
No restraint.
What if instead of composing an original work, she just sang Happy Birthday, and then that was the OP?
If Happy Birthday was the OP.
But it was really bad. Like, she intentionally did it really bad.
Uh-huh.
That is actually a perfect segue, Sai, into the note that Albert left that I want to read out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it goes like this. To my dearest Albert, happy birthday. By the time you read this, chances are that I'll no longer be with you. So instead of giving you a present, I'd like you to hear me out. Albert, this is important. I don't want you to ever hate anyone. Something occurred to me. Feelings of love and feelings of hate both start out as caring about someone. It's sad, but I think that sometimes when those feelings aren't returned, those feelings of love change into hate. If Whoa. Something like that ever happens, I want you to think back to our childhood. Back to a time where we could love openly and honestly, no matter how often we got hurt. I want you to go on living, Albert. Love people openly without being scared of giving hurt. Forever in your heart, Franz Dep... I'm not going to say his last name.
Yeah, Franz Frenchman.
Frenchman. This note is being read out over shots of Franz being with Albert, showing scenes of him clearly being frustrated and angry with Albert, and then at last coming to understanding that he loves Albert. And I'm just kind of like, so basically this is Franz being like, I was super gay for you, and you kind of pissed me off a lot. Like, a lot with everything.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But I chose not to hate you. Instead, I chose to love you even harder.
That's right.
So that's that one. The last one is that I want to talk about is basically just, you know, Franz going to heal the count of his space vampire disease by giving him a quick peck on the cheek.
Oh, Albert, yeah. You mean?
Albert, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever that was.
Yeah, whatever that
like,
was.
Like, it looked like they were about to lip lock, and then it was that thing where it's like, oh, Albert kept going, but I can see the Count's mouth, so they're not lip locking, but I don't know what they are doing, if not. Like, is he just kissing him on the cheek? Is he giving him a little secret to say? I don't...
Yeah, so, those are my big moments.
Yeah, I mean, if hate's supposed to turn to love... Maybe he just gave him a little kissy. I don't know.
Maybe he said, I'll warm your cold, dead vampire heart by giving you a little kissy on the cheek.
Yeah, it does seem like that's what happened. The gay love was so strong, it killed the revenge vampire.
As it happens.
Uh-huh.
This was an incredible show, and I'm eager to see how we want to do the rankings for this.
Yeah. God.
I will...
I get, I have such a confusing read on this, because, like, despite all of, like, the overtly gay shit, it still has a very low, no-hetero energy to me. Like, it still feels very, like, uptight and restrained, and I'm not sure how to explain why.
I know how to explain why.
Uh-huh.
It is an anime, which it always has... both gay undertones and heavy no-homo undertones,
mm-hmm.
A retelling of a classical French book, which all classical pieces have strong undertones of homoeroticism with the strong no-homo.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So those two things are just converging together to form the most weird soup.
Yeah.
Like, It is a show that has that strong, these people clearly want to kiss each other on the lips so bad,
mm-hmm.
and also don't.
It definitely has that very old-fashioned eroticism of, or homoeroticism of, like, yeah, you'll never really love your wife the same way you will love your bro. You know? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like...
your wife is a separate creature from your bro, so the loves between those are completely unique in that your wife and you are marrying each other for political reasons to keep up appearances, and your bro? Well, you chose your bro. Mm-hmm.
You can't choose your wife, but you can choose your homies.
You can't choose that wife, but you did choose that homie, and that's something special.
Yeah, because I did like the, like, little side bit, too, of there being the Franz Valentine, Maximilian. I know we didn't really talk about that love triangle, but there is that whole thing where Franz keeps telling them, like, listen, I don't really love her, and Maximilian has to go all to all the effort to, like, win her, and then they have this, like, moment together where they're talking about it later, and he's like, yeah, no, like, I don't have any riches, like, we just have a title, so, like, it would have been, like, a political move entirely, like, I wasn't gonna, like, not marry her because it would have been a good move for me, but I'm glad you married her because she deserves to be happy, and so do you. Like, it's like this very weird, like, oh, so you really were really, really trying to get out of this, but, you know, also you recognize that marriage is not necessarily the end of your love life because, you know, you're just gonna go hang out with Albert anyway.
It is a wild show. Mm-hmm. So I'm eager to hear what you guys think about No Homo. I have to point out at the end of this, it's heavily implied that, Eugenie kind of, like, goes off and lives her own life during the show. It's replied in the 5-year jump that Albert hears her after she visits Franz's grave and, like, goes to try to rekindle things, but the show cuts off before they even, like, see each other.
Mm.
So not a straight married, but a heavy implication of they might get straight married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's my fucking read on it. Like,
yeah.
in you know, we know the fucking classic Harry Potter Naruto move of, like, everyone is straight married in the epilogue.
Yeah.
In this show, it feels like everyone is straight married in the epilogue from moment one.
Yeah! Uh-huh.
Fighting the gay allegations from day one.
I mean, yeah, it is a little bit more difficult in that sense, because it does have that vibe of, like...
Everyone has a character that was assigned to them to fall in love with, and the whole show is them railing against it and then being like, eh.
It almost feels like the characters can't be gay because gay doesn't exist in this universe. You can have romantic feelings for your bro, but it's not gay. It's something else.
It's hard. I think we might just have to...
It's a powerful one.
No homo.
No homo.
No homo is very high because... Yeah, again, everyone is already straight married in the epilogue, just, like, from the beginning, like...
Franz?
We have the fucking heinous transphobic moment, which is like, a boy.
Which, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm pretty sure that setup exists solely so that when Al... I don't know if those episodes
it's
were assigned.
It's not in the... Not
okay.
In the assigned.
So there, the side plot with Eugenie ends with her about to marry this, like, total creep. He's... When they talk early on, we mentioned there's, like, this weird thing where the Count, like...
Brings them to a scary mansion where a baby was put in a box to die. That baby didn't die and grew up to be a sicko, and...
Yeah, he was gonna marry Eugenie right after fucking his mom. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's gross.
Uh-huh. French shit.
Thank you, Count of Monte Cristo.
Thank you, Alexandre Dumas. But, yeah, he... they're walking up the aisle, and Albert comes in... Peppa clearly dressed him as a maid and runs away, like, is like, oh, I object to this marriage, and while Albert runs away as a woman with Eugenie. So that's pretty much what that exists for, and that's
Chekhov's trans character.
I sure didn't watch those episodes.
Yeah.
I didn't sign them because they sucked.
yeah.
A lot of the episodes sucked, I feel like.
Hey, that's... Hey. Auteur's respect.
That's right.
But, yeah, I feel
respect,
like it...
Auteur's respect, but I was bored out of my mind for a lot of it.
I agree to the high no homo score, only in that this is a powerful one, in the sense that the Franz clearly has gay feelings for his homie, but those feelings will never be said in their entire lives, so he must die. He is a buried gay.
That's right.
Albert has something going on for the Count. Mm-hmm. Don't really know what it is, but it is, like, in the show that he kind of has feelings for Eugenie as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that just hanging
Does
over.
Does he? He mostly seems pissed that they're engaged.
Yeah, halfway through the show, he kind of turns out that he's like, oh, well, maybe I do want to get married to her. Ah. It sucks. And the
Whoa,
count
he's bisexual. I didn't know that.
Wow, crazy. And the count the whole show is being like, Albert, I don't know how to tell you this. I am going to fuck your mom and kill your dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to maybe do flirtation with you just so I can get closer to your family and then set them on fire. So the count from day one is being like, I am using you, my guy, please.
There is this weird motif through the whole thing of that, like, trio of friends, because it's supposed to be the count when he was young was, it was him, his best friend, and his fiance. And then he got sent away by the best friend. And then here comes Albert with his best friend and his fiance. And, like...
But so, that falls apart almost immediately, because Franz is not over here being like, damn, I also want to marry Eugenie.
Hey, well, yeah, Franz is the good one.
I'm realizing right now in this moment that this is the exact same dynamic as every ninja team in Naruto.
Maybe that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I am slowly turning every media I watch into a form of Naruto.
That's right. That's the ultimate queerbait ratio. You have two guys who could be gay and one girl to balance them out.
Yeah, one girl who they pretend to fight over, but what they're really saying is seeing how far they can test each other before they kiss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing gay chicken with somebody in the middle.
With the one girl who I still don't know why she's here.
I know.
She deserves better. I'm saying that about Sakura. I'm saying that about Eugenie.
Yeah, Eugenie. We're gonna have a list.
Yeah.
We'll have like a tier system one day of the girls who deserve better, and they can battle it out. How about a 4 for No Homo?
I'm thinking a 4 mostly because Albert's.
It does end
weird...
with a gay kiss. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, Albert's. Once again, the language of the show is constantly doing that vampire going to kiss you, and then we cut away last second. It is doing that for that shot. It is also, everything with Franz is so gay best friend who can't say that word.
I don't know if it's actually in the assigned episodes, but Franz does say the words, I'm not your girlfriend, to Albert at some point.
Oh, no, that's episode one, because Franz is, like, being very sad and mopey after he got two people executed.
He's like, you can't tell me what
to do. He's like, you can't tell me what to do. I can't believe you would mention gambling right now after I got two people killed. And Franz is like, okay, well, I'm not your mom, and I'm not your girlfriend, so,
that's
like,
right.
What do you want from me? And Albert gives a kind of like, huh,
damn, I thought you were my girlfriend.
Damn, it's crazy.
You know I like blondes. Okay, so 4-star for No Homo.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Okay,
no,
how about
hetero.
No hetero?
The no hetero is gonna get wacky.
This is a difficult one.
I'm so glad I threw this curveball at us.
It's a tough one, because it is very much I hate my wife culture, but it's also, like, there is that one, like, it's also about a long lost, like, my best friend stole my fiancé story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, like, pretty, it's very hetero, but also, like...
It is, in its nature, one of the most hetero stories, which is my best friend stole my wife, so I'm going to kill them both for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But it's baked in with this, like, classical energy of just finding the new guy in town extremely alluring and interesting, and oh, you just want to know what's going on with him, and also your best friend is obsessed with you.
That's right.
It's, yeah, it's like all of, like...
It had to bury Franz to escape the allegations.
Yeah, God, like... I'm having such a hard time just, like, describing the energy of it, like... Yeah, there is, like, so much of the passion and drama comes from this, like, hetero betrayal, and, like, so much of the plot is hung on that, but also there's just, like, a... Also, it's fucking gay, like,
uh-huh.
But, like,
right.
Not in a way, but, like, not in a way that I really know how to quantify exactly, because, like, again, it kind of feels like gay doesn't exist in this universe in a way that I can't really explain.
It feels like in this, you know what it feels like? You know what it feels like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm trying to figure out a way to talk about this. how some people will be like, oh, well, in ancient cultures, it was just normal to, like, have sex with men as a man, as long as you, like, didn't bottom. Like, there was this idea of, like, oh, it was okay to, like, quote-unquote, have gay relations as long as you still married a woman and, like, still had kids and also you weren't jeopardizing your masculinity by, like, quote-unquote, taking the woman's position in that relationship.
Yeah. And, I mean, that is a thing throughout gay history, honestly, with men, especially this, like, oh, yeah, like, it's fine if you fuck around in your youth or whatever, as long as you get straight married eventually. Like, it doesn't matter what you did in college with the homies.
Yeah, that's what this show has.
It doesn't even have that, because it goes so far out of its way to never imply anything like that about any of the characters.
But in this, like, sexless way. Except
for the kiss. Yeah,
sorry, in this sexless way, where it can't talk about... Other than, like, it can't talk about the idea in a show that is very sexual. Let me be very clear.
Right.
It is characters are fucking all the time. It wants to have this idea of there being, like, this culture of you can have this relationship with your homies as long as you don't let it become romantic. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But also, it can't breach the idea of also two guys having sex with each other. So it's all just left to an energy.
Yeah. It is like,
it's all just left to an energy of guys just looking at each other with, like, pure admiration.
Yeah. It's like so fucking repressed in a way that you just know that the characters are never gonna break through, you know?
Because a lot of the repression, whenever it, like, comes up,
once,
like,
again,
that
Franz
kind of stuff,
is like, I'd rather just die.
Because it has a lot of, like, infidelity, but it is all heterosexual infidelity. Like, they're all, like, you know, they're fucking and sucking each other, but it's all very straight, and so it's like they're getting
a lot of
outlet.
Unsatisfied wives.
Exactly, like, it has that, like, feel of it where they're, like, unhappy with each other because they're married, but then when they're, like, going outside the marriage, it's still very, very straight, and it's like there's also this gay vibe here, but not in a sexual way at all. It's all on the straight people, so it's very, like...
The gay vibe,
I don't know,
it's
weird.
Vibe and the straight vibe are just, like, on completely different wavelengths, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels like it was made, like, by a person who knows about...
It's like they're not even coexisting or conflicting with each other. They're both just kind of happening on... And the gay shit is on a, like, a very low level that doesn't really interact with the plot. It's like gay in infrared. You know it's there, but you can't really feel
the
vibe.
You can't touch it.
Yeah.
You know it is slowly affecting your body. You just can't, like, with your mortal eyes, look at it.
Yeah.
It feels like it, like, made by someone who knows about inherent homoeroticism but has never heard of gay people.
Yeah.
Like, has never heard of them at all, but has an idea about homoeroticism, is what is happening in this world.
It does kind of have that feel of somebody who is, like, who it feels like it's from somebody who does believe, like, yeah, if you fuck around, like, you know, it's somebody who's fucked around a lot, but is like, yeah, no, like, it's fine as long as you know.
Yeah.
It's fine. Maybe, it's fine as long as you get straight married.
Maybe the no hetero score is, like, the square root of -9. Maybe it's, like, an imaginary 3.
Yeah, that no hetero score is, like, an imaginary number at this point. It is something that you look at. Okay, how about this? The no hetero score, can we make it something weird like pi? Like, a number that goes off into infinity. Like, if you try to quantify it in any real way, you're kind of breaking the math of it.
Yeah.
I kind of like pi because that also kind of just, like, if you round, it's, like, a 3.
Yeah.
So it's like a 3-star, but it's also pi.
Yeah, we can pretend like it's a normal 3, but just know it is pi, and it is pi. Number that kind of, if you think about it too long, starts to break your brain.
Yeah, it's the no hetero score is unraveling as we speak in this. Yeah.
It is truly incredible.
Yeah, I still like imaginary. I still kind of want to put the imaginary in there because, like, the more you look at it, the more it's like, how does this exist? What is it?
That's true. Okay, I'm fine with making an imaginary 3. Okay, an imaginary number that just... kind of it sits on your peripheral vision and haunts you.
Yeah.
Should it be pi I or 3 I?
Either one. Ooh. Really.
We're just gonna throw the I in there and it's gonna be there's something going on here, but we're summarizing.
Yeah, this no hetero score is my sleep paralysis demon.
That's right.
It sits on my chest when I wake up at night and just taunts me.
That's right. Are there any straight people in this? We'll never know.
Straight people? Do they exist? Do gay people exist in this? Who knows?
Who knows?
I think part of it is just the weirdness with, like, polyamory without any homosexuality whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, it just, it fits in a weird space. How do we feel about No Romo? Speaking of weird...
None of these people should get married to each other.
No.
Franz... I can't even call what Franz has with Albert romantic, because it feels like that, like, deep gay love with your best friend that you can't even try to ever put into a romantic box. You're just like, no, that's my homie.
That's,
yeah. Who I would live with for the rest of my life if they asked. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? And also, the Count doesn't want to date Albert. He wants to kill him and then fuck his mom to the crust of the earth.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's a lot of fucking in this show. I don't know how much romance there is.
Oh, no. It is... It is a romantic show. There is no romance in it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the background plot is about, you know, the Count had this fiance who he really, really loved, but then, you know...
His friends betrayed him, and he was sent off to torture hell.
Yeah. Again, yeah. These are, like, fucking French aristocrats who have explicitly been conditioned to never have a romantic feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I feel like in this... The No Romo score needs to be high, right?
I think so. I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the fucking deep forever friendship between, you know, Albert and Franz. Although Albert is just, like, constantly shitty to Franz, so maybe we docked some points for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is a bad friend, like, a criminally bad friend. Franz is doing the most for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert is just kind of being, like, a shit-ass this whole time because the Count keeps asking him to do things, and he's like, anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, Arno Romo oftentimes leads more towards, like, would these relationships work outside of a romance?
Yeah.
And I don't... It's a weird question to apply to this one, because any of the romantic stuff that we're looking at is, like... I don't know.
The only one that slightly works outside of romance, maybe, is, like, the implied Franz and Albert before the Count showed up. Because it was implied that they were good friends. Like, good childhood friends with each other before all this went down. It's just the moment the Count shows up, which is the whole insight into the show, is that everything just kind of goes out the window.
Uh-huh.
Everything just devolves into madness.
You know what it is? I feel like the friendship even between Albert and Franz is very repressed as well. Because,
It's Franz fighting the gay allegations and Albert being like, I'm just so bored with life.
Yeah.
If only a hot vampire would show up.
It's like they talk about how good of friends they are and how much drama is present in this friendship, but they don't really have chemistry, you know? They're not really friends in a way that you feel. They're just like, sunny flashback on the beach, and I'm like...
I don't think Albert has chemistry with anyone.
Yeah, true.
The thing about it is Albert is kind of a black hole of chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
He fits with no one because he is just like this weird amorphous blob.
Yeah, he is. Speaking of fucking shit on a different vibe, Albert is just living in a completely different reality from everyone else.
The thing about Albert is he thinks he's in a romantic novel, which he's right. Mm-hmm. It's just no one else thinks that.
Yeah.
So they're all just like, he's like, oh, that wouldn't be like a chivalrous thing to do, or people don't like do that. They wouldn't be like twisted and edgy like that. And everyone's just like, what are you talking about, my guy?
He thinks it's like a straight up and down romance novel, and it's a romantic tragedy. It's and like he has a not revenge figured
thriller.
That out yet.
He hasn't figured out he's in a revenge thriller yet.
Yeah.
Romantic revenge. You know, it's like a.
Romantic revenge thriller. You know, it is about the Count destroying all who betrayed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
yeah,
just
yeah, exactly.
Like,
but it's like, you know, the love turns into hate, like that genre, you know?
Let your anger fuel your hate.
Exactly.
Mm hmm. Albert
it's basically Sweeney Todd, honestly.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Albert is just like, wow, love is so beautiful and pure while everyone around him is stabbing each other.
everyone is setting each other on fire, and Albert is like, I am so glad everyone has discovered love.
I love love. I hate my fiancé, though. Fuck you, Jeannie.
I fucking hate my fiancé. I wish I could just stay with the Count forever.
Yeah, like, Albert is more about, like, the idea of love than actual love, and I feel like that sort of summarizes, like, the entire thing. It's, like, more about the idea of love than it is about, like, actual human emotion.
Mm-hmm. Once again, this is someone who read the novel and has a great idea about the idea of romance and, like, romantic values, mm-hmm. has never talked to a person.
Yeah.
Has never, like, this is an alien's interpretation of the human, like, psyche after only reading great classical literature.
That's right.
Like, all enhanced, like, human emotion, and they're like, this is exactly what people are like. Uh-huh. This is someone who has only watched shonen anime and wonders if this is what humans are like in real life.
Yeah. God, maybe this is like a 3 for no Romo, but like a 3 that is kind of that, but like a 3 that we dug up from the 18th century.
Yeah.
Skeletal.
A 3 that is extremely displaced in time.
Ancient 3.
Yeah.
Ancient stylized 3.
It's a 3 that we dug out of the catacombs that are on the moon that were transplanted from Paris.
Exactly.
This has been our funnest score yet.
Yeah,
this has
yeah.
been a lot We've of got, fun.
Like,
we have a 4.
Yeah, we have 4 plus...
Which heavy, like, anger vibes around that 4.
That's
like,
right.
Rage is filled in that 4. We have an imaginary 3 that is becoming more non-Euclidean as we look at it.
That's right.
And we have a, like, melted out of a block of ice 3.
That's right.
That just doesn't know what age it's in.
Yeah.
A dirty, bony 3.
Skeletal 3 we just unearthed.
I think that gives us a 10, but, like, a really fucked up 10 that we have to recognize immediately.
It's a very blurry 10, you know?
It is a 10 that feels like it is shifting.
That's right. You can't look at it too much. Because, you know, 7, 8, 9.
I am going back through TMA right at this very moment. It is, like, if this was a TMA episode, it would be someone being like, that number just twitched a little bit.
That's
like,
right. That is exactly right.
That number started to squirm.
Yeah. God.
Oh, just like in Severance.
Yeah.
Fuck, crazy.
Their job is to find scary numbers.
Wow.
Maybe
to find this one.
Maybe Jonathan Sims is listening right now, and the fucking twist is that this entire episode has been us, like, you know, telling our story to the archivist.
Oh, what this is we watched a show that was definitely made by a Dread Power. Yeah. Which one, I don't know yet.
Was this made by obviously. The Spiral?
Listeners, if this sounds like it's on a tape recorder when you listen to it, run. I don't know where to, but it's happening.
Just know we all got taken.
I'm an avatar now.
So cool.
That's great. If I became an avatar of the stranger, I would like that.
Yeah.
Hang out with the delivery drivers.
Emery, okay. What kind of avatar would you be?
God. That's... I mean, no. I think I'm on record with this. I'm pretty sure I'm the lonely.
Yeah.
That's fair. The lonely kind of fucks. You know, Peter mm-hmm. Lucas is hysterical.
Remember when, TMA spoilers for anyone listening, remember when his entire ritual got shut down because he was racist?
Mm-hmm.
And he only let white people into his apartment building?
He was like, white people are the loneliest, so I'm gonna only sell this apartments to white people.
To white affluent people.
Gertrude just called the news and was like, hey, it's kind of weird how it's only white people in that house.
Also, isn't a little bit fucked in there? Anyways, bye.
That's right.
Great. Great.
What are our
plans? I'm happy I forced you guys to experience even a little bit of this nightmare show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This was it a fun one. Not fun to watch, very fun to talk about.
It has been a worm in my brain since the first time I ever watched it, mm-hmm. being like, someone else needs to experience this with me, because it is insane what is happening here.
I have watched it before with you, but I forgot. I forgot it looked like that. I forgot that the duel was a big mech fight between mechs that are fighting with swords and also do pretty much equal damage to the person inside them. So, like...
It's great.
Uh-huh. It was an interesting piece of media.
Yeah, auteur's respect, gotta say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Emery, what are we doing next week?
Good question. I think I want to give us a little break from...
Yeah?
From...
Bad all media.
I think I just want to do a really solid No Romo one.
Ooh.
I think I want to do Carolyn Tuesday. I have not decided which episodes yet because I did not prepare.
That's fine. I didn't prepare for this one, so I like Carolyn Tuesday. That is a low stakes, happy one that I am excited to watch.
Oh, it's very nice.
It's very cute. All right,
and
all
it's
right.
not gay, but like in a chill, fun way that I'm not mad about.
Yeah, it is very much one that could easily slip into like being like a no homo kind of gay one, but it is fully in its vibe. It is fully in the vibe of being like, what if you were good friends with someone and started a band?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think the thesis of our podcast seems to be slowly becoming, it's okay if your characters aren't gay, but then just, like, don't, you know, they don't have to be queer-baited and then het-romanced. It's fine if they
don't
just
do it.
It's fine if there's just no romance, actually.
Yeah, I
just
think
don't
this
do
is,
it.
This might be, like, the polar opposite of a Sherlock.
Oh, totally. I'm so excited to do the polar opposite of Sherlock.
Oh, thank God. All right. Do we have anything we want to do for, like, a third segment, or do we just want to wrap this up?
I didn't have anything in mind.
Yeah, I got nothing. I am happy that I seemingly... because I wasn't thinking, did a vampire show in October.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spooky Halloween.
So, yeah.
Spooky Halloween, and also our most non-Euclidean score during October.
That's right. We have a haunted score.
A haunted score that's going to haunt me.
That's exactly right.
So I'm glad I picked this one, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we want to do plugs?
Yeah, sounds good.
Sure.
All right, well, you can find the podcast at WeRateQueerBait at Twitter.com. You can find me on Twitter at GroovingGhastly, and also on a Sonic lore podcast called The Sonic Shuffle, where we randomly and holistically go through all Sonic lore with my co-hosts, Morg and Dan.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
All right, well, you can find this show on Tumblr at WeRateQueerBait, and you can also find me there at Dankus McDonald. I'm also on Twitter at Sky_Bird36, and then I have a Bandcamp at LSky that I'm slowly updating, so there will be stuff there soon.
Hell yeah. I'm Emery. You can find me on For Affinity with the username SpaceRobot. I'm drawing art there. Go check out my gallery. Get in touch with me about a commission on Discord if you know me there, or spacerobotart@gmail.com. I'm also on a podcast called Digimon Ghost Gaze, where we talk about the anime Digimon Ghost Game, which is a lot of fun. Also, if you go on the Ghost Gaze Discord, we're watching the aforementioned Epmon. Who knows if that'll still be going on by the time this episode releases. I'm also gonna be on an upcoming, or probably released by the time you hear this, episode of Video Games, the Movie, the Podcast with Dan and
Hell
Maxi,
yeah.
Talking about my favorite sexy Pokemon, Mewtwo, and his strikes back.
That's right. Wonderful.
The Mewtwo movie we all know, Mewtwo and his strikes back.
Yeah.
I love that.
So
it's what he named his thighs.
Yeah.
I'm also
going to be involved in a secret upcoming project, which there will probably be announcements on in the coming months, and I'm very excited about it. I'm working with a lot of cool people who I'm a big fan of.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
Tantalizing.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it for me.
Alrighty.
Alright, alright. Well, listeners, this has been, if not fun, it has been an alarming and exciting experience.
This has been fascinating.
This has been a fascinating work, a fascinating text. And you know, guys... It'd be crazy if we all decided to just go on revenge sprees and end the episode.
Mm. Oh my gosh. It would be
if
so fucking...
we just ended the episode right here and just went on a revenge spree together?
Oh my god, it would be crazy.
Oh my gosh. What if we all ended the episode so we could go watch Genketsuo again, but with the saturation turned up and on 2x speed?
Oh my god.
Just and do we like add... a vintage black and white edit, maybe?
Oh, a vintage black and white edit of Genketsuo?
Nothing oh, would
that'd
be legible.
So good. Oh, what if I put a glitter filter over all of it?
I yeah. think it already has that in some scenes.
Oh, but imagine for all of it. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, are we kidding?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
Yeah, I would never watch Genketsuo.
We would never watch
Genketsuo
again.
Color filters.
That's right. We would never do that.
Unless we use the Instagram filter where everyone just give everyone cat ears or some shit.
Oh, where they all have baby faces?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
The whole thing with the Snapchat puppy like tongue filter. The whole thing.
Oh, the count with puppy tongue out the whole time.
What if we used Instagram filters to live swap Albert and the Count's faces?
That would be so funny.
That would be so funny.
But we would never do that.
No. Not even once.
No.
Unless.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.